This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله تعالى فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. We begin by thanking and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord and Master and Creator, the Most High, the Most Majestic, the Most Perfect, the Most Merciful. We praise Allah, we thank Him, we ask His aid, we ask His guidance, we ask His protection and refuge. We bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship except Him, and we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His last and final messenger. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with compliments and salutations and prayers and blessings, and upon his family and his companions and all of those who follow his tradition until the end of time. We are in the month of taqwa, and we are in the day and in the gathering where we are encouraged one another to renew our taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us do so fulfilling the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have taqwa of Allah, Allah commands us. And do not let the angel of death come upon you except that you are in a state of submission, in a state of being of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and staying away from that which he dislikes, disapproves of, and prohibited. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of you your good deeds in this blessed month. And many of us are increasing in our good deeds in this blessed month, as we should be. In terms of our acts of worship, our ibadah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this dunya as a fertile farm ground for us to plant so that we can harvest in the akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us throughout the Qur'an, and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encourages us to utilize the opportunities and the resources and the blessings that we have in this dunya to prepare for ourselves the most perfect and the most beautiful of abodes in the hereafter. Today's khutbah is focused on a very short statement that inshaAllah ta'ala will inspire us to have a particular mindset and outlook and behavior, not only in these last few remaining days of Ramadan, and I say few because they are few, but inshaAllah ta'ala for the rest of our lives. And especially in these days of Ramadan where the actions are rewarded and multiplied. There is a narration that is very short and abridged, and I hope and expect and would love for everyone to memorize it before leaving today. In Arabic, it says, صَنَائِعُ الْمَعْرُوفِ تَقِي مَصَارِعَ السُّوءِ. And I found some difficulty figuring out how to translate this, so bear with me. But producing actions of goodness will protect you from the sudden experience of evil. Actions of goodness, al-ma'roof. And the Prophet ﷺ said, كُلُّ مَعْرُوفٍ صَدَقَةٍ. Every ma'roof is a charity. See, we have a problem. We have a problem that whenever we hear the word charity, whenever we hear the word sadaqah, whenever we hear the word zakat, our imaginations automatically go to a dollar sign. And that is one form of sadaqah, and that is one form of zakat. That is one form of ma'roof. But the chapter in the category of ma'roof is so vast. And it is important for us to diversify our acts of ma'roof. As one of the scholars said, throw your arrows in every different direction. That way, for sure, one of them or some of them will hit their target. We are expected to diversify our acts of righteousness and our acts of goodness. And so ma'roof refers to any act of goodness that is done. And we are also taught never to belittle any act of goodness. The Prophet ﷺ informed us in an authentic hadith in Bukhari and Muslim that a man was traveling and he experienced some thirst, and so he came upon a well and he descended into that well to get some water for himself. And upon exiting, he found a dog that was literally chewing on the dirt out of thirst. And he recognized that that dog must be experiencing the same pain and thirst that I experienced. So he descended back into that well and filled his own shoe with water. The Prophet ﷺ said, فَشَكَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ فَأَدْخَلَهُ الْجَنَّةِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded him for that act by entering him into Jannah. In another narration, فَشَكَرَ اللَّهَ لَهُ فَأَدْخَلَهُ الْجَنَّةِ That he expressed gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah entered him into Jannah. And yet a third narration also in the authentic books of hadith, it is mentioned that it was a woman actually whose job was that of a prostitute. But she did this act out of sincerity and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave her of her sins and entered her into Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once asked by the companion Abu Dharr. Abu Dharr says, قُلْتُ I said to the Messenger of Allah, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ ذَهَبَ الْأَغْنِيَاءُ بِالْأَجْرِ These wealthy friends of ours, they have taken all the opportunities for reward. They beat us. They got to the front of the line. They have all the opportunities of reward. يُصَلُّونَ وَيَصُومُونَ وَيَحُجُّونَ They're making salah and they're fasting and they're making hajj. We can't compete with them. It's not fair. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَأَنْتُمْ تُصَلُّونَ وَتَصُومُونَ وَتَحُجُّونَ The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you too? Abu Dharr was not of the wealthy companion. He said, you too, you're also fasting and making hajj and praying. Abu Dharr said, ah, but hold on. They give صَدَقَ يَتَصَدَّقُونَ وَلَا نَتَصَدَّقُ They give sadaqah and we don't have anything to give sadaqah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam corrected this misconception of this beautiful companion Abu Dharr. Set the record straight. Set his paradigm and his mindset. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, رفعك العظم عن الطريق صدقة وهدايتك الطريق صدقة وعونك الضعيف بفضل قوتك صدقة The Prophet ﷺ said, when you remove something out of the path of other people, that is a form of sadaqah. And helping other people is a sadaqah. And the Prophet went on to describe other forms of sadaqah. Even relaying a message of truth and of goodness and of knowledge to someone that cannot understand is a form of sadaqah. Until the Prophet ﷺ said, and even having intercourse with your spouse is sadaqah. And there Abu Dharr was shocked. What? For us to fulfill our own physical desires is a sadaqah? The Prophet ﷺ said, how? What else would it be? If you were to have fulfilled that desire in haram, you would have been sinful. So you think Allah only punishes you when you do something sinful, but when you do what you have been created to do in a way that is pleasing to Allah, Allah's not going to reward you for that? The Prophet ﷺ said, when you do something haram, you expect sin. When you do something good, you don't expect reward? Have a good opinion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, that is a form of sadaqah. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ala kulli muslimin sadaqah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every single Muslim must give sadaqah. على كل مسلم صدقة. Every single Muslim has to give sadaqah. So what do you think was the reaction of the companions? See, if I had said that hadith without any introductions, many of us might have had the same response. And so the sahaba said, فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ. Messenger of Allah, what do you mean every single Muslim? What about the ones that don't have? Sahaba went through difficult times just like you and me. Not all of them were wealthy. Not all of them had the ability to spend from what they had. Not all of them were strong. Some of them were ill. Some of them were weak. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ قَالَ يَعْمَلُ بِيَدِهِ فَيَنْفَعُ نَفْسَهُ وَيَتَصَدَّقُ. The Prophet ﷺ said, let him do something with his hands. Do something, make something with your hands. Help someone, do some physical effort to be of service, to be of assistance. That will be sadaqah. They said, فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ. The Sahaba are thinking, what if somebody doesn't have? What if they have some type of ailment? The Prophet ﷺ said, قَالَ يُعِينُ ذِي الْحَاجَةِ الْمَلْهُوفِ. Be of assistance to someone that needs it in any way or form. Be of assistance. قَالُوا فَإِن لَمْ يَجِدْ. The Prophet ﷺ said, they said, what if he still can't do that? The Prophet ﷺ said, then let him at least command others to do ma'ruf. One of our teachers, he taught us a principle. He said, don't ever consider yourself unable. Let no one ever, ever say, I'm not able to do this. Why? Because we have a principle. غَيْرُ الْقَادِرِ قَادِرٌ عَلَىٰ أَن يُبَلِّغَ الْقَادِرِ. The one who's not able is always able to let someone else know who is capable. That's at the very least what you can do. But the Sahaba wanted to really push the limit even further. They said, فَإِن لَمْ يَجِدْ. What if he even can't do that? The Prophet ﷺ said, وَلْيُمْسِكْ عَنِ الشَّرْءِ فَإِنَّهَا لَهُ صَدَقَةً. Then let him hold himself back from doing anything that is evil or incorrect or harmful, and that will be written for that person as a sadaqah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us in the Qur'an, in a verse that we heard just last night, in the night prayers, at the end of Surah Al-Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. O you who believe, irka'u, make ruku', bow down, wasjudu, make sujood, prostrate, do your ritual acts of worship. This is referring to the ritual, devotional acts of worship. You are expected to do that. Waf'alu al-khayr, and do acts of goodness. It is not sufficient for someone to just do ritual acts of worship and then just be in complete solitude. No. The believer is expected to be the one who benefits others. That's why when the companions came to the Prophet ﷺ, and they asked the Messenger of Allah, أَيُّ النَّاسِ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ. The companions, they're asking the Prophet ﷺ, who is the most beloved person to Allah? And it's amazing that they always ask these questions. They're always aiming very high. See, someone might walk away from a khutbah like this and say, oh, you know, we were taught to never belittle anything small, so I'm just going to do things that are small. And yes, we are taught to never belittle anything, no matter how small it is. But we are not taught to settle for small. We are taught to do the best that we can. And you see that attitude in the Sahaba. أَيُّ النَّاسِ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَأَيُّ الْأَعْمَالِ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ. What's the most beloved person? How can I be that person? How many of us have thought in this month of Ramadan that I want to be the most beloved person to Allah? Why do we have to think so little of ourselves? Why do we have to expect so little from Allah? It doesn't matter what experiences have we been to, we have the potential to be amongst the most beloved to Allah. Let us not hear narrations of companions, stories of the righteous before us, and say, oh, I can never reach that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have created you and would not have given you the abilities that He gave you if you did not have the potential to be amongst the most beloved to Allah. This Ramadan, you can be the most beloved to Allah. How? the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in just two words, the most beloved person to Allah, anfa'uhum linnas. Anfa'uhum linnas. Those that are most useful and bring the most benefit to people. And it's from the mercy of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our beloved merciful Messenger, that he did not restrict that goodness to one particular act of charity or one particular act of goodness, but he left it open. أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ. And we find ourselves in different situations and amongst different groups of people where we can be beneficial to them, and that changes from place to place and from time to time. That flexibility and that room is more opportunity from Allah to be amongst the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. And the most beloved actions to Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, سُرُورٌ تُدْخِلُهُ عَلَى مُسْلِمٍ أَوْ تُكْشِفُ عَنْهُ كُرْبَةٍ أَوْ تَقْضِي عَنْهُ دَيْنًا. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and the most beloved actions to Allah is that you plant the seeds of happiness in the heart of your fellow Muslim brother or sister. Isn't that so beautiful? Plant seeds of happiness. Make your fellow Muslim brother or sister feel good. Open a window of happiness for them. So broad, so encompassing of so many different actions. And yet the reward is so great. The most beloved actions to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, the best people that we know of are the Anbiya, the prophets and the messengers. And we find that they always hastened to do acts of ma'ruf, to be of service to others, to help others. So we find Ibrahim alayhi salam, this messenger Ibrahim, who is highly praised in the Qur'an and the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. He's referred to as Khalilullah, the close companion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we want to dig into how he achieved such a lofty and such a great status, we find a narration where Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked Jibreel, Ya Jibreel, لِمَ اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Why did Allah choose Ibrahim to be his khalil? Allah in the Quran says, وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Allah chose and selected Ibrahim to be his khalil, his close, close beloved companion. The Prophet ﷺ asked Jibreel, why did Allah choose Ibrahim as a khalil? And Jibreel responded, and he said, قَالَ لِإِطْعَامِهِ الطَّعَامِ يَا مُحَمَّدْ. He said, that was because of the reasons is because Ibrahim always hastened to feed others. Food! Food is not metaphorical. Food, ta'am. He always looked for opportunities to feed other people, give them food in the most excellent of manners. And that's amazing because in the Quran, when we find the story of Ibrahim receiving guests, he went and he pushed forward in front of them ijl. He slaughtered a veal, a baby cow. Some of us, when we receive guests, we might just give them a cup of water or a cup of fruits or something simple. Alhamdulillah, all of that is beautiful. But who amongst us receives guests? By the way, without any RSVP or any, they just showed up. As a matter of fact, he doesn't even know who they are. Munkarun, he didn't know who they were. But they came as guests. Who amongst us receives random, stranger guests in the middle of nowhere at a time when you're not expecting anyone, and like, oh, let me go get you something, and you go and slaughter a baby cow, which is expensive, and then you push it forward in front of them. Eat. Excellence. Something that may seem trivial, but that's what led Ibrahim to be a khalil of Allah, a close, beloved companion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Reflect over the story of Musa. Musa alayhi salam, this is before he was a prophet or messenger, by the way. Musa alayhi salam was in a difficult situation in Egypt where the people were going to come after him to kill him. So he escaped. He fled Egypt to save his life. He ended up in a place called Midian. He shows up to Midian And he had to cross the Sinai. He had no preparation. It's desert. It's hot. Imagine the exposure to the sun. He's all alone. He's in a foreign land. He may not know that language very well. He's exhausted. And on top of that, he was fleeing from his life. It wasn't no average, relaxed journey. He's running away and he's looking behind him. يَتَرَقَّبْ خَائِفْ He's scared. He shows up to this place of Midian where there's water, and he sees all of these shepherds with their animals getting water, and two women all the way in the back, they have to turn away, and their animals are not getting water. He's like, no, something isn't right here. And he goes to them. What's your story? We don't have access to the water. فَسَقَى لَهُمَا So he takes their animals and he pushes and rubs elbows with all the other shepherds. He moves a giant boulder that it used to take 10 men to move. He lifts it after fatigue and after a journey to give them water. And he was so exhausted. The dua that he made after that describes for us his exhaustion. He returns their watered animals back to those women. وَتَوَلَّى He retreated. You retreat when you're in a state of weakness. You retreat when you are defeated. He was defeated by his own fatigue and exhaustion. تَوَلَّى إِلَى الظِّلِّ He goes to the shade. قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ Any goodness that you give me, O Allah, I am in need, I am impoverished. I need it. I am poor in front of you, O Allah. But that state of affairs did not hold him back from recognizing that someone needed help and from him jumping into the situation and helping them. These were the anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are our role models. فَبِهُدَاهُ مُقْتَدِهُ So let us follow their guidance. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that some people are keys that open doors of goodness. And مِنَ النَّاسِ مَفَاتِيحِ لِلْخَيْرِ مَغَالِيقِ لِلْشَرِ They are keys that close doors of harm. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us keys that open up doors of goodness for people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us keys that close doors of evil. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-azim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bima fihi min al-ayati wa dhikri al-hakim. Aqulu ma tasma'una wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'iri al-muslimin min kulli dhanbin fastaghfiruh innahu huwa al-ghafur al-rahim. Repent to Allah for He is the most forgiving, most merciful. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله تعالى فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله Please take this opportunity to move forward as much as you can. I see a lot of empty spaces and we want to make room for our brothers and sisters that are joining us. Please move forward as much as you can. تقدموا افسحوا في المجالس يفسح الله لكم Make room in the place of gathering. Allah will make room for you. Of the fruits of ma'roof, of the fruits of doing acts of goodness and service, and kindness towards others, is as we begin with, صَنَائِعُ الْمَعْرُوفِ تَقِي مَصَارِعَ السُّءِ Acts of goodness prevent and protect from sudden events of difficulty. The scholars have deduced from the ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ that a person who is continuous in their acts of goodness and help and kindness, this is something that will صَرْفُ الْبَلَاءِ This is something that will prevent and turn away from this person moments and experiences of difficulty and trials and tribulations that would be of harm or of difficulty. And the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ يَسَّرَ عَلَى مُعْسِرٍ يَسَّرَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ That whoever alleviates the difficulty and the struggle of someone that is going through some type of difficulty, any type of difficulty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will alleviate the difficulty of that person in this dunya and in the akhirah. And of the fruits of ma'roof, of acts of kindness, is دخول الجنة, entering Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna ahla al-ma'rufi fi al-dunya hum ahlu al-ma'rufi fi al-akhirah, wa inna awwala ahli al-jannati dukhulan ahlu al-ma'ruf." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "The people of ma'ruf, the people who do these acts of kindness and of goodness towards others in this dunya, they are also people that will be adorned with that attribute in the akhirah. And in the akhirah, those people will be amongst the first people to enter into Jannah." And another fruit of goodness and kindness towards others is what we are seeking in this month, مَغْفِرَةُ الذُّنُوبِ, that having the sins forgiven and erased and removed from our record of deeds. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasized this in multiple narrations. I want to conclude with some adab, with some etiquettes and manners. If someone is doing some kindness towards you, number one, be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and part of that is by expressing gratitude to that person. And accept acts of goodness from others. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged us that when someone does an act of goodness towards you, accept it from them. Do not break their heart or hurt their feelings. But accept that act of kindness from them. Some people, we are raised with this attitude that don't take anything from anyone, that's going to make you look bad. No. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that when someone does an act of goodness towards you, respond with gratitude and with thanks and accept it and smile. And likewise, when we want to be those that want to deliver acts of kindness towards others, let us follow some manners and some etiquettes. Number one, let us make sure our intention is sincere. Seeking reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reward alone. You know, in these last 10 nights of Ramadan, these best nights of the year, one of the most beloved acts of ibadah, of worship, is i'tikaf. Is the i'tikaf, to seclude yourself in the masjid for the last 10 nights. And those that are doing that, may Allah accept from you. It's a beautiful act of worship that the Prophet ﷺ used to do. Plan for it next year, if you are not able this year. But the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith, for those of us that are not able to do i'tikaf this year, don't think that all hope is lost, because the Prophet ﷺ said that to walk with your brother in his service until you fulfill his need is better for me than staying i'tikaf in this masjid. And he was referring to his masjid in Medina, one of the greatest masajid on earth. Better for me than to do i'tikaf in this masjid for shahr, for 1 month. So be in the service of your brother and the sister and seek reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the reward is great. Number two, do not respond, do not follow up any act of goodness with men, which is reminding people of your favors. لا تبطلوا صدقاتكم بالمن والأذى. Allah forbids us in the Qur'an, don't follow up your sadaqah, your act of charity and goodness with men, with reminding people of your favors. That is one of the most disgusting things that a human being can do. And it is something that destroys and removes the reward that you might have attained. If you did something good, good. Leave it at that and move on to something else that is good. Don't remember it and don't remind others of it. And lastly, seek reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never belittle any opportunity to do good, but also let us belittle our actions in a positive way. Meaning, let us not do something and then feel so pompous and so amazing that mashallah, we've saved the world from hunger. No. Let us do something good and let us feel the sense of urgency to do more and more good. These are some of the manners that our teachers and that the scholars have emphasized. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those that will be protected from the hellfire with their acts of goodness. I will close with this hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the servant will come in front of Allah on the day of judgment. They will look to their right, all they will see is their deeds. They will look to their left, all they will see is their deeds. They will look in front of them and they will see the hellfire. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, فَاتَّقُوا النَّارِ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَ. So do taqwa, protect yourself, build for yourself a barrier from the hellfire. What's amazing about this barrier is it can be built with the tiniest, seemingly most insignificant things, a piece of a date. Because the action might be small, but with the right intention, the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be absolutely massive. A few announcements before we close. We do have Isha and Taraweeh and Witr prayers every night at 9:30 p.m. And now in addition to that, in the last 10 nights, we have Salatul Tahajjud, which begins at 2 a.m. And it ends with Suhoor that is provided. So you can have Suhoor here. And Fajr Salah is at 4:30. We brought it up 15 minutes for these last 10 nights to make it more convenient for the community to perform Fajr in congregation. There is a Qiyam program at ISOC, Islamic Society of Orange County, Masjid Rahman, and that will take place tomorrow, Saturday. Also, the Masjid is still collecting school supplies as part of the program to give to students in the Fullerton community, and we need a good response from everyone for that. So please see the list of items in the drop box in the lobby of the Masjid. And finally, many people are asking about Eid. It is a day of celebration, but let us not look to the ending of Ramadan. Let us try and cherish every moment of Ramadan. Nonetheless, Eid, inshallah ta'ala, what we do know so far is that it will most likely be on Sunday, and it will be in the Angel Stadium, inside the stadium, and we will provide you with more concrete details once they become available, inshallah ta'ala, but that is some preliminary information for you to keep in mind. And lastly, before we close today, inshallah, every single one of you should have been given one of these envelopes. If you have not been given it, you will be given one. And I would like to request humbly that every single one of you takes one of these envelopes. In terms of this khutbah, that's all that I'm going to request for you to do. Please take one of these and keep it with you, inshallah ta'ala. And we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inspire all of us, will open our hearts and allow us to be of those that fulfill acts of goodness and kindness and are of service to others. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of the most beloved of His servants to Him. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ اللهم آتِ نُفُوسَنَا تَقْوَاهَا وَزَكِّهَا أَنْتَ خَيْرُ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا أَنْتَ وَلِيُّهَا وَمَوْلَاهَا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم. Remember Allah, He will make mention of you. واشكروه على نعمه وآلائه يزدكم. Be grateful to Allah, He will increase you. ولذكر الله أكبر. The remembrance of Allah is the greatest. والله يعلم ما تصنعون. Allah is fully aware of what we do. وأقيم الصلاة.